Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you're one of those people who's ever lost your temper, lost control, said or did something you regretted with your social media, I'd love to hear from you. I've already said my piece. I'm not going to criticize. In fact, I suspect if you are telling the story, you already know, and you're already embarrassed, and you don't need anyone to tell you where you went off the rails. And I don't know of anyone who's brave enough to call up. If you want, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, there are a lot of positive uses for social media. My favorite being baby animal videos. But when I'm done with this job, I'm done with social media. There are so many things about it that I detest, that I can't stand. And working as a even semi-public figure for the years that I have. And I think Twitter just sent me a notification a month ago that it had been 8 years. I actually had some colleagues convince me that I needed to be on Twitter, that I couldn't do this job without Twitter. So I joined 8 years ago. Facebook was not too long before that. At some point over the last 3 years, I had to separate my personal and my public on Facebook because it got to be too much, overwhelming. I was tired of hearing a nonstop running commentary from people I didn't know on my personal life and my personal Facebook page. And so there are certainly steps that you can take. I use mute and block liberally. But honestly, when I'm done with this job and I'm not required to have social media anymore, I will deactivate my accounts and never use them again. The people who know me, the people that I need and want to communicate with, they've got my number. They've got my email. I'd rather talk on the phone anyway. I know you're shocked by that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. On Twitter, on Facebook, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're 30 minutes away. It's our hump show staple. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And I see some of your comments in response to my opinions from just before the top of the hour. It's not the first time it's happened. It won't be the last time. But I hope I never get to the point where I'm so jaded that I don't have the same reaction. And like I said, I do hope those people who feel bold enough to issue death threats to an athlete they don't even know get exposed and get found out and get embarrassed. All it takes is 60 seconds of thinking about it first before you hit send. Phone a friend, because nobody would tell you that's a good idea. Rob Manfred weighs in on the Houston Astros and their cheating allegations. We'll get to that coming up. By the way, I was right. I don't get to say this very often when it comes to history. I don't often remember history correctly. I'll get the names wrong. I'll get the dates wrong. I'll get the details wrong. There's so much that happens in sports on a daily basis that, as you can imagine, or maybe you can't if you have a mind like a steel trap, I get the details all jumbled up in my brain. But this I got right. Going back to the NFC Championship game, 2012, it was Niners-Giants, so it wasn't Seahawks, but it was Kyle Williams. He muffed a punt. The Niners may or may not have won, but it was a critical moment. Giants ended up in the Super Bowl. And then, of course, that was following the 11th season and beat the Patriots. And I just remember Kyle Williams talking about the death threats that he received. And that was actually only a year into, like just more than a year into my Twitter tenure. And I was blown away. And I felt so bad for him. You never know if people are serious. In this day and age, you would be naive not to take those things seriously. Just a quick story from my own life. I won't share a lot of details because I don't feel comfortable doing so. In the last 2 years, I've had a person on social media threaten me. Now, that wasn't the majority of the messages I got, but we're talking thousands of messages, thousands, sometimes dozens of them coming daily. And most of them were just delusional, out of touch with reality. But there were some pretty specific threats to the point where I actually spoke to police. Now, it's a murky area, but I was afraid enough that I went through a period where my family was freaked out, of course, and I'm still doing it. I've got an alarm on my bag. I've got Mace with me all the time. A person had sent me messages saying that he'd shown up in places where I had been, looking for me, couldn't find me. Now, that's a different type of thing than sending a death threat to an athlete. But there were enough threatening messages that I was scared. And so I can't even imagine being in the situation of a Kyle Williams or a Sean Clifford where you're talking about more than one person sending you those types of disparaging messages. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Let's talk to Tim, who's in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello?
Tim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Well, I just wanted to call. I know I feel really bad for him. I know exactly how he feels. I've called before. I'm a writer, and I cover sports. And, you know, I write commentary sometimes. And sometimes I'll write, you know, I write political commentaries. Well, in 2016, I wrote a political commentary, and I got horrible backlash, and I got death threats. And not only threatening me, but threatening my teenage son and my family, and you know, like I said, I cover sports, and it was well known in the area here what I cover, and minor league baseball. And I got not only a threat on Twitter, but more than one threat on Twitter, but I got an email from one of the people that said, I'm going to wait for you outside of the game and bash your head in. And, yeah, and I feel this kid, look, he's an athlete. He's doing what he loves, and people are so, they overreact so badly now on social media. They don't realize what they're doing. I think they don't realize what they're doing most of the time. I mean, some people are probably just, you know, unfortunately crazy. But I just think, like you said, people need to take, you know, 60 seconds before they send it and realize what they're doing on social media, because it's just, it's horrible. I know how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably, and I'm not exaggerating, it was probably a good 2 months before I would go out and not look around.
Right.
And wonder what was going to, you know, is someone there? You know, is someone going to do something to me? You know, worrying about my son, was he going to get, you know, was someone going to do something to him, you know, or my wife? So I feel really bad for this kid, and I'm, you know, I hope that it, you know, the people that threatened him, I hope that there's consequences for them.
Right.
You know.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so I just, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I doubt if he might be listening to your show. Hopefully he is. It's a great show. I just hope he realizes that he's not alone, and there's a lot of people that stick up for him, and they're playing Ohio State this week. But
And he just reactivated his accounts. If I were him, I would keep them deactivated.
You know, I'm telling you, yeah. I mean, and I'll be honest, you know, I'm an Ohio State fan, but Ohio State fans can get a little overboard sometimes, you know?
You think?
And very much.
Yes.
You know, I tell Ohio State fans, you know, that, and they, of course they don't like when I tell them that because they think, you know, they say, well, you're not a real fan if you're saying that. I say, yeah, I am. I just realized that you go a little overboard sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every fan base has people who do. It's not specific to one or the other. And like I said, it's not as though I'm surprised, but I'm still stunned, if that makes sense. So, Tim, I'm glad that nothing materialized with those threats, but I hate that you had to go through that. I appreciate you sharing your experience.
Yeah, you have a good night.
Thanks, Tim. Let's talk to Josh, who's in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. I'm calling to tell about a little bit of a regrettable decision I made on social media. I was I lived down in Texas, and there was a period of time when there was a gas shortage, and everyone was freaking out about gas prices, and everyone went to fill up this one weekend, and in the town where I live, a little bit east of Dallas, I went to fill up, and I'd gone to multiple stations where they were out of gas. And I went to the station, and there was a notice on the pump. There wasn't any gas, and I just thought, oh, I'll try and get some gas. And I got some gas out of the pump, and I was really surprised and really just in a bit of rage, I guess you could say. I went in and took a video of people inside and was talking about how it was messed up. They were saying they didn't have gas, and it turned into a somewhat of a viral video, and got lots of hateful messages about me and how I was tarnishing the reputation of the people that worked there. And it just wasn't something that I thought about when I posted it. You know, I was kind of on the trail to tell people about how it was wrong, and I didn't really realize, you know, the repercussions of me speaking badly about someone and their business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess we're in confession hour. But
how long did it take you to have that revelation where you kind of realized, whoops?
Well, it actually started, you know, when I got some of those messages, people that were talking really poorly about me and why I would have posted it. I started to kind of think about it, but I was still a little bit guns ablaze, you know, like this gas station is like not being honest with people. And, you know, I was kind of sticking to my guns for a little bit, and then I sat down in a meeting with my employer had seen the video that had over 1 million views.
Uh-oh.
And you know, they weren't like, they were just like, why? Why did you do that? And I was like, you know, one of my employers, one of the bosses was like, was he drunk? Like, no, I wasn't drunk.
I was just mad.
I was upset, you know.
Yeah.
And so as that, you know, that meeting happened, and over the next few days, I ended up taking it down, and I wasn't trying to ruin anyone's business as much as I, you know, I was a part of following, you know, these gas stations that were price gouging, and right, it kind of fell into a similar category and whatever, but I just, it was a little bit too much hype. Hmm. for something that really was not a big deal.
I mean, that's kind of the thing, is we can't control it. Once it's out there, as you point out, maybe for you it was just an outlet and it was just something that in the moment you felt like you should share because this company is doing people wrong and they're not telling the truth. And all of that is the case. But once a post of any sort hits the internet, you may think it's only going to be seen by 10 people. And all of a sudden, as you point out, it goes viral. And that's kind of the deal, is the internet has a life of its own. And once things hit the web, they never disappear. I tell that to people, young people who ask me my advice for getting into this business and staying in this business. And one of the things I say is just remember your words have power, whether you're on the radio, whether you're on TV, or you're using the internet. Because once you say it, once it's out there, you cannot take it back, no matter how bad you want to.
Well, thanks, Amy. Love the show.
Thanks, Josh. Good to talk to you. I appreciate that confession. And he's right. That's a lesson in our own emotions, sometimes we don't think about consequences. And that's human nature. It's not unique to social media. It's just that with social media, while we're not thinking about the consequences, we can deliver a blow that could potentially be harmful to other people, but also really damaging to ourselves. Again, once it's out there, you may delete it. But what if there's a screen grab? What if 10 people have already seen it and they pass it along? Once it's out there, it's never fully gone. All right, coming up, we'll get to a few more of your calls. 855-212-4227. I keep telling you, you're going to stop believing me. Mike Tomlin did actually talk about the Steelers and Browns brawl at the end of Thursday Night Football. Finally. I swear he did. I'm like Gronk. I'm a big tease.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That is not a first down pickup, and it's far short.
Oh, we got reaction.
Uh-oh, we got flags.
Oh, basic. Oh! Oh!
And the Steelers, uh-oh, we got a kick in the end zone by a Steeler. And
look,
I think
out.
The kick
look
to the
out.
Head.
He hit him with a, he tried to he hit tried him with a hit. Helmet.
Yeah.
He tried to hit Mason
yeah.
with the helmet.
Well, yeah.
Well, this just sets the stage for
the rematch.
The rematch.
Yeah, it does.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bill Hillgrove and Tunch Ilkin on the Steelers radio network. It was not quite a week ago. Certainly a span of eight seconds that will continue to have ripple effects through the rest of the NFL season. We still are waiting on the results of the appeals. In fact, Myles Garrett hasn't even had his appeal yet. He is meeting with James Thrash on Wednesday, though, to my understanding, both Larry Ogunjobi, the defensive lineman for the Browns, and Marquise Pouncey, the offensive lineman for the Steelers, have had their appeals heard by NFL mediators. And so we'll wait to find out. These two teams both play week 12, and those games are coming up. Right now, it appears as though all three will be missing week 12 and potentially longer, but there's always a chance the suspensions could get reduced or thrown out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. We're going to get your calls here, but I've been promising that you could hear from Mike Tomlin. He finally spoke. Remember, in the wake of this brawl last Thursday night, he did not want to say a word. But now he's gathered his thoughts. It's really a lesson to the rest of us, right? Take some time, think about what you want to say before you say it.
It was ugly. It was ugly for the game of football, I think. All of us that are involved in the game, particularly at this level, want to safeguard and protect the game, its integrity. And in that instance, it was compromised, obviously, with an unfortunate incident.
Which is one reason why the NFL reacted so swiftly. The video of Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph, Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, Larry Ogunjobi, you could go on and on. The video, the primary second being the Myles Garrett smash, helmet smash to the head of Mason Rudolph, that, forget going viral, that transcended sports. And so the NFL wanted to try to control the narrative a little bit. And so before 24 hours had even passed, the suspensions were already handed down. The NFL had already acted because of what Mike Tomlin said. It was ugly. It was an ugly look for the NFL. It was a compromising of the integrity of the game of football. And there was no way to take it back. Once it's out there, everybody's going to see it. It was on national TV, but if it had been on a high school field with no cameras, at some point it would have gotten out because that is too salacious for people not to care. But why did Mike Tomlin take so many days before he spoke publicly?
None of us want those things to transpire. It did. We were a part of it. We accept responsibility for our actions within it. You know, I won't have a lot to say in great detail regarding it. We have some people going through appeals and so forth, and I don't want to jeopardize that in any way. But another reason why I didn't want to talk in great detail about what transpired at the end of the game is because it had little to no bearing on determining the outcome of the game.
It's interesting that he brings it back to football, because honestly, who cared about the football at that point? now we're kind of getting back to the football, right? Because the Browns have lost their best defensive player, potentially for the rest of the year. The Steelers are without one of their key pieces on the offensive line. These two teams meet again in about a week and a half. It's a week and a half, something like that. They meet again in week 13. And the NFL doesn't want that game on national TV, so it's been bumped up to an earlier start time. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. In case you were wondering who Mike Tomlin thinks is responsible, he sort of made it clear. But this was actually a comment that I had Chris go back and grab, because it wasn't part of his initial remarks about the brawl. But a reporter asked him, is there anything you can learn from this incident? And he said, no. No, there's nothing we can learn. And then he proceeded to explain why.
You know, I don't know that we did anything to make it happen anyway in the first place. That's why I said we didn't have anything to learn from it.
Shot fired over the wall.
You know, I don't know that we did anything to make it happen anyway in the first place. That's why I said we didn't have anything to learn from it.
All right. Pretty self-explanatory there, I think. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's quick talk to Scott, who's in Boston. Scott, welcome to After Hours. So you just have a couple of minutes, but you've been hanging on, so I wanted to get to your call.
Annoying as this question is going to be, how long do I have? Because I'll act accordingly.
A couple of minutes.
All right. No joke. I have so much to talk about. 2 minutes. I'm going to get through it easily. Before I rip my Patriots, I live in outside of Boston, but I'm going to rip Gronk and Brady in a minute. So I have 2 minutes. Amy, I agree with you. I'm seriously, no joke, considering going back to the flip phone. You know what I mean?
There you go.
I'm so sick of Twitter, Facebook. Did you hear he said, she said, he said? I'm going to throw my phone in the ocean. It's ridiculous. Mm. You know, to your point, there's a lot of wackos out there, Amy. You're in the spotlight, media spotlight. Just ignore them. But you know who your friends are. You don't need to have 7,000 fake friends on Twitter. It's a joke. It's ridiculous, Amy. We're not even 30 seconds in yet. I still got a minute and a half. But it is. It's ridiculous. My buddies call. They're like, oh, did you see what Joe Schmo said on Facebook today? I'm like, no, and I don't care. I'm like, I know who my friends are. I have like 5 good friends. I'll call them and talk to them and their wives and their kids. I don't need to know that you have Mary from Quincy got married weekend and now she's in Honolulu. I don't care. I don't care.
Okay, but that's relatively benign. I mean, that's kind of what social media is about, is showing everyone our amazing lives, right? Because we can be anything we want on social media. But yeah, the way that people use it is blah.
We're going through a cultural transformation. And again, now we're down to 1 minute. You promised me two.
And you haven't even got to the Patriots yet. So let's go.
I haven't got to the Pats yet. That's how I have so much to say. Can I co-host next week? All right. But yeah, it's like everyone is so insecure. Did you see what I did? Did you see my kid, what he did? It's like, F off. I don't care. I'm like, if I'm your friend, let's go have a beer and watch the Pats and just talk.
For a second, I thought we were going to have to dump you there, Scott. They got
Hold on.
Hurry up.
Oh, I won't swear ever, Amy, I promise. But it's like, you ever go to a local bar, everyone's on their cell phone.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
It is.
All right, let me get to the Pats, because okay. I know I'm running out of time.
Okay.
Gronk is a clown. A clown.
It's true.
Now listen, I've said this on local radio, WEI, your affiliate.
Boom.
And I asked your producer, I believe, Chris is his name?
Yes.
What I could say and what I couldn't say, so I won't say the bad word.
Please don't.
What a clown, what a doorknob Gronk is. Go away. Now, the consensus here in Boston on local sports media, like 65% of people are sick of him. Like, go away, dude.
Okay, I hope now, that
I'm gonna
he
go
gets
up
it now.
Further. Hold on. Let me whip Brady real quick,
hurry
too,
up.
While I'm at it.
Okay.
Brady's a baby. Did you see him after they went on the road in Philly?
Mad.
They're 9-1. He's crying about his offense.
He was definitely
I'm
mad.
I'm so sick of this Patriots team.
What?
It's like, Brady, if you want to leave, leave. Thank you for the 20 years. Now, Amy, quick, we got 20 seconds left.
I don't even know if we have that long. But
All right, 8 seconds. 8 seconds. Connor McDavid. Amy, you never talk hockey.
I know. Connor McDavid, not this time of the year.
Amy. What? Connor McDavid, if he ever played in New York City or Chicago, Boston, Los Angeles, he'd be a household name. This kid is the best player since Mario Lemieux or Wayne Gretzky in the 80s. He has 12 points in his last three games.
I'm pretty confident he is a household name. However, I get what you're saying if he was in a larger media market. But we will talk hockey in the spring when we get to the playoffs. Plus, I'm a Sharks fan, so I love hockey. Okay, I got to let you go, Scott.
No way. Edmonton beat them tonight, 6-3.
I saw that.
Connor did. Connor had a goal and two assists.
Okay.
Edmonton got him.
I don't want to hang up on you. I don't want to. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, bud.
I mean, I love that he sort of keeps track. He had a lot to pack into that call, but Scott had been waiting for a while. And he was really only cutting into Ask Amy Anything, which comes up next. After Hours CBS on our Facebook page. Look for the bright orange box. You have a couple of minutes left to submit your questions for producer Chris.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We have crammed a ton into this radio show, and we're about to cram in a few of your questions. Thanks, as always, for finding us on Twitter and Facebook. And for using it in positive ways to uplift and encourage and to ask questions. So part of our hump show, Ask Amy Anything, producer Chris has got your questions here on CBS Sports Radio.
That I do. And we will start with a Thanksgiving related question.
Yes,
as it is
my favorite.
A little over a week away. So we're excited for that. David wants to know, have you ever hosted a Thanksgiving Day dinner for your family and friends?
I have, actually. So in college, we did a bunch of Thanksgiving dinners. The basketball team, we were very often stuck together on campus or on a road trip. So that was one. That was a time in my life where it was fairly memorable. And I've also had to travel for some basketball tournaments that I was working as a radio announcer during my career. And so there have been, you know, different Thanksgivings that are outside of what you might consider the norm. But twice in my life, in my career, I've hosted Thanksgiving. And I absolutely loved it. To have everybody come to my house, to have my mom and I battle with the turkey, decide how we're going to cook it, pour over various recipes for new things we can add. Yeah, it's my favorite meal of the year. It's one of my favorite weeks of the entire year. And while generally I don't live in big houses, you know, smaller houses, maybe a townhome I owned or an apartment, it's fun to cram everybody in. And since I'm a pet owner too, I think the last time that I hosted a Thanksgiving, there were 7 people and 3 pets. It's perfect. It's exactly my idea of perfect.
Well, speaking of pets, Mark has a question about Penny, who he first wishes a happy birthday, as it was her birthday.
Oh, she's still snoring. Still snoring. Yeah, it was Sunday.
And he wants to know, what's your favorite memory with her?
Oh my gosh, I have so many. I love that dog. Just on Tuesday, she makes me laugh every day. She sticks her face in the weirdest places to smell stuff. I'm sure anybody who has a dog, you get this. I know Dave has a couple dogs. You have 2 dogs. 3 dogs, 2 dogs, 2 dogs.
2 dogs.
Yeah, so they stick their faces in the weirdest places to sniff things. So my dog sticks her head right into a pine bush and comes out as all the needles are falling now, comes out with needles all over her face. And so I burst into laughter, and of course she thinks it's funny that I'm laughing, so she's wagging her tail. But I would say some of my favorite memories are our road trips with her. So the last 2 years, I've gone on vacation in May to beaches in South Carolina, and she's come with me. And it's funny because I initially booked these vacations solo and thought, man, this is going to be weird going on vacation by myself. But it wasn't at all. It was amazing. And to have the dog with me was just perfect. She loves the beach. She loves to roll in the sand. And so I think some of my favorite memories with her are taking her to the beach, family vacations, but the last 2 years to South Carolina. And then I'll say one more. I've twice driven from New York City to Houston because I couldn't be gone for Christmas very long if I left my dog behind. So I literally drove 1,600 miles one way, 3,200 miles round trip twice, so I could take Penny with me at Christmas time. And those road trips were kind of funny too. I mean, just to drive that far with your dog. I mean, it's yeah.
Did she get any leftovers on the holidays?
I only let her eat a little bit of bread now and then. She likes bread and butter, maybe a little peanut butter. But Australian Shepherds have notoriously weak stomachs. So somebody said something about her being spoiled because she looks fat. Actually, that's her hair. She has a lot of hair. But no, she's been on the same diet. She's probably bored with it. Been on the same diet since I got her 7.5 years ago. So I really don't. If I feed her people food, I end up paying for it. So it's not worth it. They get sick pretty easily if you change their diets.
One of those questions with no answers. Do dogs get sick of food? You got to wonder.
Not
right?
My dog.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so with the way they get excited for every single meal.
I mean, right? I know something's really wrong with my dog when she doesn't meet me at the door or come wake me up because it's time to eat. That's Penny.
So we spent a large portion of the show just talking about social media and kind of the dark and downside of it. But Ben has a funny question about social media. He wants to know, what are some of the awkward things people have sent you over Facebook and Twitter?
Oh, Lord. I wish I had a dime for every time I got proposed to, as in marriage, on social media. And while I do appreciate that people think it would be cool to spend time with me, I also get asked out on dates. What am I supposed to do right back? I mean, seriously, let's just say it's your sister. Just, you know, imagine for a second if you have your sister. And your sister writes back and is like, sure, I'll go out with you. Even though I don't know your name. I don't actually know what you look like because you have a photo of an athlete as your avatar. And I have no point of reference. I don't understand how people think that I can do anything. I can't even respond to those because it wouldn't even be safe. But the marriage proposals are the ones that say things like, you love sports and you're beautiful. As though that's the only thing that you need to make a marriage work for life, is that you love sports and you're beautiful. I mean, those two things will definitely last forever. And also, this is not death threats, but when people send me their comments about my physical appearance, so they comment about my hair or a particular shirt I'm wearing, or they comment on my weight or my height, it's like, are you serious? Like, what? Well, I don't, it's someone you don't know and you're looking at a picture. I don't understand whatever possesses people to comment, to feel emboldened enough to comment on someone else's physical appearance over social media. I just don't understand it.
Tips for my fellow men out there. It is never not weird or creepy to do all of those things that Amy just said. So take note. Staying on the lane of the bizarre here, Curtis wants to know, what are some bizarre foods you'd like to try that you never had?
Oh, gosh. I'm not really a bizarre food brave person. I'm not. In fact, a few years ago, my nieces convinced me to try Thai food, and it was a big step for me. So the fact that I eat it now, it's one of my favorites. They think that's hysterical. But I generally don't eat a lot of food that I don't. Have any history with. I would like to try, so when you go to some island countries or Central America, South America, they eat things that likely I would never cook, like different bugs or different critters. So I suppose I could try one of those things, but I could never compete on Survivor because the stuff they eat, no, it's not happening. I'm not very brave when it comes to that. I'm trying to think of something I haven't eaten that I would try.
I think at the Seattle Mariners ballpark, they have the fried crickets that I saw. A story
yeah,
about
I mean,
that
I suppose I could eat a cricket. What's the harm in that? I mean, for me, exotic is like eating buffalo. I do like lamb. Lamb is one of my favorite things to eat, but that's not very exotic. I'm not brave when it comes to food. I don't like Chinese food. You could be eating someone's cat. I don't eat sushi because I don't like raw fish. So I kind of stay in my lane. Stay in your lane when it comes to food.
There's nothing wrong with that. Jim has a different food question. He wants to know, what are some of your holiday season staples?
Well, coming up, pumpkin pie is my responsibility for Thanksgiving. Also, my best friend, who's this incredible baker, she sent me, tell me what you guys think of this. She sent me a recipe for pumpkin whoopie pies. So instead of the little chocolate pies, there are two pumpkin whoopie pies with the cream in the middle. So I'm thinking about trying that. What do you think?
Save me one.
And then when it comes to Christmas and the holidays, I love to do a cookie baking extravaganza. So I take a Saturday in December. You guys know this. Take a Saturday in December and I cook. Last year it was 4 different kinds of cookies. This year I'm going to go 5 and I always try a new one. Last year, I made snowballs for the first time. This year, I'm thinking about making lemon bars, like lemon squares, lemon bars. I've never done that before. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of trying new baking recipes because it seems like everyone loves cookies and treats around the holidays, and so it's fun to share them.
Frank wants to know, if offered, would you ever like to have a small part in a Star Wars movie?
Yes, although my favorite ones are about to be done. I just said to a friend, you guys are going to not maybe believe this. I just said to a friend on the phone on Tuesday, once these Star Wars movies are done, I'm out. Like, this is it. This is the end for me. I'm not watching The Mandalorian. I feel like because of what happened with Carrie Fisher, because all of these characters are so iconic to me, that they're just, I can't. I got to draw the line somewhere. So I think I'm out after these Star Wars movies. So it might be too late for me.
Shenanigans on that. We're calling shenanigans right now.
Is that your version of BS?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
that is the terrestrial radio version of BS. We'll get one more in here. Carl, he has a summertime question. I guess it's never too early or late, depending on
if
where you
they
look
do
at
a
it.
Prequel about Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay, see, look, now there's already caveats and qualifiers.
If it's these characters, Yoda, a prequel about Yoda. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, we'll squeeze one more in here. Yeah. Carl wants to know, Amy, in the summertime, are you a fan of water parks, and do you have a favorite one?
When I was a kid, Canobie Lake Park, which is one in New Hampshire that people will know, we went there a ton. I do like Six Flags. I spent some time at Six Flags in Atlanta. They have some cool water rides. But generally, I prefer the ocean. That's the only water ride that I need. The ocean is my happy place. I prefer that to a pool. I prefer it to any kind of water park. It's wide open. There's lots of space. I like the sand between my toes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.